Will of God.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we can. How about if we... There we go, no more. That's good. Okay, so under the general will of God, you saw that really what... We don't have to... This is not a judgmental. We're not trying to be harsh here, but many people, they're trying to think and trying to grasp a surrendered will or a special will of God, and they're not to the general statements yet. And that's where a lot of times we run into these problems with many people, even with people that are so-called that the Lord wants them to do something special, and it's just that their living witness doesn't testify that they even are doing the general things that God wants. And so, of course, you need to be saved, baptized, church membership. You need to be giving time, talent, tithe, and whatever else T word you want to put in there. You need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. There are separation issues that you need to be, that you're not living like the heathen. And telling people about the Lord, ministering your gifts that you have been given, that you're going to minister unto people. And then I wrote down there a couple more, and there's probably more than 10, believe me, but sanctification, set apart for the Lord, and giving of thanks, which is the will of God. And here comes, okay, anybody want to say their verse? You want to say it? No? You already said it, so I put your thing there. You want to give it a shot? We've been all over the map today with it.
It's hard. Yeah, when you hear you're shaking.
It's one of the hardest ones.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have trouble with it, except for Rick.
Yeah.
He's probably reading it.
Yeah. He had a tape. It's taped to the back of Angela's chair there. Okay, so we have the general will of God. You want to give it a shot or no? No, okay. We got the general will of God. And so when we think about this, we need to understand that if you're so many people are reaching out there for so much more, but the general will of God is right in your face in the scripture. You don't have to pray about it. You don't. Well, does the Lord want me to be sanctified? No, the Lord wants you to be sanctified. Does the Lord want you to be baptized? You don't have to pray about it. It says to be baptized. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. And so the things are right there. And so praying about it, or you know, some kind of mystery, it's no mystery at all. Fulfill these things that are plain in Scripture. Okay? And then you can go from there. I got some quizzical looks going on. People are going, what? Okay, what? Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? Yeah. And so it's not rocket science. And so if you're faithful in those few things that he's told you very specifically to get doing and do, and I'm not talking, you know, you understand very well that I don't talk about sinless perfection, but I know that God knows your heart and you're trying to fulfill all that the Lord has given you to do. And then we get into the next page, which is the surrendered will of God. And we mentioned here that it's a prerequisite to knowing his personal will. And so it's a surrendered will of God. He will not reveal his special will until you have submitted to his general will. So there's a surrender that happens here. Now, this is where the rub is. Okay, so you have, even in the general will of God, you have a surrender that will happen. Okay, well, I think Tana with her baptism, right? Tana was, she's afraid of water. Not like to drink it or anything, but you know, like having it cover you, right? And so now she's overcome most of that, actually, but... when we were first got saved, the baptism really scared her. She didn't like, you know, having somebody grab you and hold you underwater. This was not a good thing, right? You know, that kind of thing. But she had a surrender to that. In other words, overcome her fear and surrender, because it was what the Lord would have her to do. And there's many things like in this general will of God that you have to surrender. So people want to know how to do this and what to do that. But really what it is, it's a surrendering to the will of God. So you read your scripture. You believe, because we believe the Bible. I hope that you do. And so when it comes into a conflict of in this general will of what you want to do and what the scripture says, there comes a point of decision and conflict. There, it is conflict. It's the old man, your way or God's way. And what are you going to do? And so generally speaking, that's where your first challenges are for your growth in the Lord. Because if you were raised like me, as I mentioned before, there was I didn't understand a lot of the biblical principles about treating your wife, raising your kids, how to handle money, whatever it might be. And so there was a lot of those things that came up. And then if you're not faithful in that, why do we think that he's going to, you know, go and give us more to do that requires even deeper surrender? So in your general will, there is surrender. Now, really, now, have any of you had to surrender? Can you give me an example of in your own life? It's okay. I mean, really, what that in the general will of God that you had to surrender to what you wanted to do, to what the Bible has to say? Anybody wants to? You don't have to admit anything deep and dark or anything like that, you know. I mean, take something from the fringes or something. But, you know, is there anything?
Yeah. Do things for the church, for the Lord, you know, each week or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, with a lot of people, time would be a very difficult thing, you know, generally because their time is so engulfed.
I found sometimes as simple as stop relying so much on what I can do versus what God has allowing God pick up the slack.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, with me, trust in that he can, yeah. I guess with me, it was over every step of the way. There was, I didn't like to give him money, you know, because, you know, that kind of thing. So learning how to give the money, the time, talent, tithe sort of thing, you know, all of that. That was all, there was a conflict. And I don't want to say I struggled with it for long, but they're always with the will of God and knowing his will. There's his way and then our way that we're doing it. And when they conflict, so what are you going to do at that point? You're going to either fight it or you're going to surrender to it, right? You're going to submit yourself under the word of God, okay? And so that's how we learn submission. You know, we submit to the word of God. And so how quickly you do that. Yeah, some people, they've never got out of this because they're still battling under the general will of God, God's ways and my ways, right? They're still battling it. And so they don't, you're going to be, you know, you're going to, I have to say, you're going to be, it's going to be a difficult time until you surrender that item. And then what a lot of people do is they have that item. I don't care what it is, whether it's baptism, church membership, whatever, you know. And they got this item. And so rather than face it, it's a giant unto them. And so what they try to do is they try to go around it. Okay, so they don't do that thing that they know the Lord would have them to do. But then they jump over and they want to get more involved in this and this. But they still haven't. They bypassed that item that the Lord spoke to them about. And I would encourage you, of course, to go back to that item and start from there and surrender unto the Lord. So then there's a surrendered will, as we were saying. And it's a presentation of yourself to God. Okay? And so when we go to Romans chapter 12, so thinking of all of this to in the will of God, this is, like I said, it's a very common verse that we refer to all the time, but we're going to break it down just a little bit. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? Metamorphosis. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the surrendered will of God is that you are going to submit yourself, or you are going to present yourself a living sacrifice. And so some people have different terms in the Christian walk. They talk about making God Lord in your life, you know, and different things. There's these different phrases that are used. But it is a time that you come and realize and you say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to do what you would have me to do. Or you're going to just generally. So a lot of times it can be a specific thing, whether it's giving, church membership, this, that, or whatever the Lord has talked to you about. And then sometimes it's more in a general way. Now, you don't surrender generally unless you mean it. Okay? Because, you know, if you surrender generally, and I say this, some people, they surrender generally and then they fight the Lord every step of the way, even with his general will, right? But you need to have that surrender there, that you trust the Lord in a way, and he has become Lord in your life, and you're going to follow after his ways. You might need guidance. You might need an interpretation of Scripture. You might need some help along the way. All these other things are there, but that you have submitted yourself unto the Lord. And so it says there, and he beseeched them. He cried out to them. He said, now you need to do this, really. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that's the provoker, it is by the mercies of God that he has shown towards you, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so I would encourage you that if you haven't, that this is a something that all Christians, whether you've been saved for 10, 20, 30 years, I don't care. A lot of times I find that they have never actually submitted themselves unto the Lord. And with me, I have to tell you, this is my experience, okay? There was a time, a long time ago now, but that I was arguing with the Lord over everything that the preacher was saying. He said, the Bible said this, and the Bible said that, you know, and I said, no way, you know. And anyway, so I started to study the Scripture to try to find a way out of these things. Okay, really, you know. Some people have good motives for studying the Scriptures and some don't. And after studying the Scriptures over certain issues, I came to a conclusion. And it'd be good for everybody to conclude this. God wins. If you're his, well, he wins it whether you're his or not. But if you're a child of God, God wins. Okay? Over every battle, no matter how much you fight, no matter how much you want to argue, God wins. And so if we know he's going to be the victor in the battle, because he wins, why don't we just make it easier on ourselves and submit to his will quickly, rather than fight it for years and years and years? And that's what I concluded. I said, okay, well, I think it'd be a lot, you know, better to surrender when I know that God is speaking to me through his word in an area that I surrender to his will, rather than fight and argue and ignore and all these other things. Because I have to tell you, with a Christian, he always wins. Really, you can fight, and then he's going to work with you. He's going to work with you. He's going to put things in your path, you know, and he's going to put it in there again. And then if you don't do it right, he'll put it in there again. And if you don't do it right, he's going to just put it in there, your path again, until you have the victory. He wants you to have victory in a certain area. And I want to encourage you, yield to the Lord and do what he has told you to do. Submit to the word of God, and it'll be a blessing to you. Present yourself, because he is God, and I'm thankful for it. So it says here, the daily giving of one's life to the Lord. And I guess if Paul had to do it, it'd be pretty wise for us to do it, right? He says, I die daily. He had to remember. Bob Hawkins, all of you know Bob, don't you? Bob Hawkins met this guy door knocking in Trail that he lived the perfect sanctified life. He hadn't sinned in weeks, months, years. And I said, whoa, whew, that's pretty good, man. With me, I have to die daily. and of course, he didn't go a year without sinning. He didn't go, I doubt if he went 10 minutes without sinning. But anyways, you have to understand that we need to do this, and we need to do it daily. And so a living sacrifice, He wants you to live for him, holy and acceptable in a condition that God can use. A vessel met for the master's use, right? And you need to be available to God. So with our, remember this balanced life thing and all the other things there that, you know, we're not doing. But anyway, that you know, that we were teaching there. You got to be available for God to use. So if you've, you know, made your plan so restrictive that, okay, God, I'm free on, you know, for an hour here, and I'm free for an hour here, then you, really what you do as a Christian, you got it backwards. You need to be available to God all the time, and he knows we have to work and earn money. He knows that you have to go shopping. He knows that you have to, you know, mow the lawn. He knows all these things. But the attitude is that you're available always, and all these other things are there, you know, that as needed. And if you, as we get that more and more, it'll help calm things down in your life, and you'll be doing the will of God. And so not conformed, the influence, not influenced by the world, that's part of that sanctification and holiness, not influenced by this world, and not informed by the word, that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformation is a process that as you study the word of God, and a lot of people have trouble with the study, and you get your heart prepared, and then you let the Lord speak to you. And you read the Bible, and then you go on something, the Lord will bring something to your mind, or you'd look at it in a very new way, and then you can look up every verse in it. You can just go with it, pray about it, and the Lord will bless you in it. And that you may prove, what does that mean? What is it that you may prove something? So we're proving something that ye may prove, okay? So we're, our life is proving something. We're showing something. We're confirming something. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So if we don't live a surrendered life, we don't prove, we're not proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because that surrendered life is the will of God in your life. And so try to think of it and challenge yourself on it. Make yourself available for the will of God 24/7. And yes, you have to work. And yes, you have to do this. And you have to, you know, do all these things. But even in those, you can serve the Lord. And you need to do it as a living sacrifice. To know his will, we must first be willing to do his will. I would encourage you to be willing to surrender yourself, that it, when the Lord shows you something that's very plain in his will, that you're willing to do it. Don't be of the type, Lord, show me your will and not do it. That's not a good position to be in. It's then you're in what? If you know God's will and you're not doing it, what are you? You're in rebellion, right? You're in disagreement, you're in discord, you know, this kind of thing. So you have this attitude that, Lord, show me your will and I will do it. But how many people are going to do that when you surrender? Lord, whatever you would have me to do. Why? Why is it? Why is it that we're so hesitant to say, Lord, whatever you would?
Fear.
Absolutely.
Pride.
Pride, yeah. I think that mostly it's fear. I think that that's one, a big one. There's other pride, there's other different things that are involved, but I think that what we fear, what the Lord will tell us to do. But what does he, do anything, say, is there anything in this book that says he's going to do something to harm you? He said, if you know how to give good things to your children, doesn't God know how, you know, better things to your children? So we fear, right? And I don't know whether we fear that, what is the Lord going to say? I mean, really, you know, what, go to Zimbabwe or something? Come to Canada? Yeah, go to Quebec, you know, become a separatist. But anyways, you know, what is he going to do? And So I like to explain it this way. Did not you trust the Lord for salvation? Yeah, you did, right? Okay. Did you know your eternal soul is a pretty precious thing? If you really think about this, your eternal soul, you've actually trusted the Lord. He said that he will keep it, right? That he's going to keep you. We've made an agreement here. By faith, he is going to preserve me. He's going to keep me. And I've trusted him with my eternal soul, which is me. I've trusted him. I'm not going to go and trust, you know, Hindu gods or anybody. I've trusted the Lord. And now I don't trust him on my day-to-day life. You know, I've trusted him with my soul. I'm here. I'm not going to become a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or, you know, any other thing. I'm going to trust in the Lord, my eternal soul, and yet I don't trust him with my day-to-day living, with what I'm going to do tomorrow. Something's not right there, right? In a very practical sense, we fear. So knowing his will, be willing to do his will. And he will not do anything that's going to harm you. He's not here to harm you. Now, is there sometimes some rough edges to doing his will? Yes, but it's a rub between us and God's will. You know, that these things. He isn't going to have you living sacrifice. He doesn't want you to blow up buildings. He doesn't, you know, none of that stuff, right? He wants you to be living. And matter of fact, he has a course for you, and he wants a long course for most of us. And God does not reveal his will for us to decide if we like it, but for us to do it. I like that one. here's my will. Do you like doing it? Oh, yes, I like doing it, so I'll do it, right? Here's my will. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like chocolate. But, you know, whatever. And then, no, sorry. No. So there is some trust. You got to trust the Lord in this area. It's okay. I can't tell you I've trusted the Lord perfectly because I'd be lying to you. But where I have trusted the Lord, he has been faithful all the time. And whether it's here, go here, buy this, don't do this, you know, all these other things, he's been very, very faithful. And I'm thankful for it. And so you go and God does not reveal his will to us if we like it, but for us to do it. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, and thy servant heareth," right? That's what we are. Speak to me, Lord, I'm listening. What would you have me to do? You don't have to pray that prayer in the sense with his general will, because you read it and you know it. Now he wants you to do that. Haven't we already decided that? Everything there is just pretty straightforward, isn't it? And he wants you to judge righteous judgment. That's in the will of God, isn't it? It doesn't, don't take only one verse. Take the whole saying. He wants us to judge righteous judgment. And he, you know, so all of these things are there. And that's what he would have you to do. And then you're in the will of God. You're doing what he would tell you to do. Gideon put out the fleece to discern, not to decide. When I go to see the Lord, we'll discuss Gideon. He'll have to straighten me up with Gideon. I don't quite understand all there is to know about Gideon. Sometimes I see him as so apprehensive, it's annoying. But then I see him in us. And I think that's why the Lord put all of that there. We put out the fleeces. We're looking for tentativeness. We're tentative in doing the will of God. Because he saw himself in an improper light. Because at the very thing, he said, "Now, Lord, if thou wilt do what thou hast said." I mean, you know, he said he knew what God had said, but he was tentative. So God doesn't squish you every time that you're a little bit tentative, okay? Really, he could have said, "Listen, Gideon, I've already told you three times, and now you want me to put out the fleece." Because I believe it was three times that he told him before he put out the fleeces. And he could have said, "Okay, I'm done with you, squish." No, he didn't do that, right? Okay. You have to understand that the Lord, now I'm not giving you an excuse not to do the will of God, okay? I don't want to do that. But you have to understand that he knows our struggles, right? And so we'll do that. And we got all kinds of time. Okay, so you're ready to do God's will? Okay, you're going to surrender the surrendered will of God. You're going to trust the Lord, and he's going to send us all. I know we're all going to go to Muslim countries. Yeah, and wear burkas and all the rest of it, right?
Oh, you can wear the burkas.
Yeah. Well, a lot of men do just to hide, you know, to, that's how they bomb things. But anyway, yeah, they wear women's clothing, right? You know, whatever you, if you want to call that women's clothing. But okay, so then we're going to get into a special will of God. So you got all your blanks filled?
No, actually, I was busy listening, and I totally, and I don't have my helper, you know, so
I don't,
you can cheat off me later.
Okay, like, which ones do you?
I like all of them.
All of them?
Well, okay, like what page?
We're on the surrendered will of God?
Yeah.
Blank one, prerequisite.
On top of 22? Yes.
Yeah, 2A, first blank, prerequisite. Prerequisite, I believe.
Is that it?
That's the right spelling? You want me to say it again?
No.
Okay. The next blank is special.
Yeah, I got that one.
The next blank is general.
Okay.
B is presentation.
Okay, and then I got the last two at the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Now, under the special will of God. Okay, so God leads through his word. Now, Brother Venturini and I, we've been discussing this quite a bit because his brother, we've been praying at it, and he's, it's not like I'm saying, his brother, after years of going with a grace-type doctrine, even though Pentecostal, he's in a Pentecostal church, but salvation by faith through grace, he, about a year and a half ago, he converted over to... The reason that so many people aren't saved is because they're not keeping certain portions of the law. This has gained a lot of popularity in many, many, with many people. So they're trying to put the Christians under the law. Okay, not all the law, not the 320 laws, not but they're trying to get them under certain what certain laws, right, that they say still apply to the Christian. Now, as a Gentile, you have to understand you have never been under the Judeo law. That law was for the Jew. And it was a sign, actually, between Israel and the Lord that he gave him these mighty laws. Now, Romans and other scripture tells us that we, when we do things that are contained in the law, we become a law unto ourselves. Okay, so there is a law that the Gentiles are guilty of. And especially, we have it. Murder, thieves, we have our written law. And that is contained in the law. And so we become guilty of it. So we have sinned. Okay, just in case you wanted to know. And so, have you ever broke the speed limit? Okay, well, you just became guilty under the law. That's how defined it could be. Okay, we become a law unto ourselves. And so the Lord is we're all have sinned and come short, and so we understand this, and so we need to just press on here with the special will of God, and because I think I can get through this in 7 minutes if we go. If the general will of God is being carried out in our life and we have surrendered our will to Him, God can now confirm to us His special will. Now we're getting out of the realms of generality, which are, you know, the things that we've talked about, and you got the heart ready to listen, now he can talk to you. And he might say something as simple as, go here and do this or do that, okay? But it's not going to be contrary to his word. And that's where people in many circles, not so much in independent Baptist circles, not so much, but it's there. Much into the Pentecostal charismatic circle, they're being led by the word of God. And that's what I want, the point I wanted to make up. Brother Venturini said, the Lord has revealed this to him. I am being led by the Lord to go back into the Lord. And Brother Venturini told his brother, yes, but there's a problem with that. It is what? It's contrary to Scripture. It's just plain contrary. But yet he's being led of the Lord. And I've met many, many, many people that are being led to be, they're saying, by the Lord, and it's contrary to his general will, to the main teaching. I mean, listen, I'll give you a radical example. There was a lady that was living in fornication, and she told me it was the will of God that she be with that man. Said, excuse me. Sorry, this doesn't work.
You know. The part that she was married to someone else.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. But the Lord's leading me towards it. Like, come on now. You know, this is so far off, you know, but yet they're being led, right? But it's not the Lord. They're being led by another spirit. Now, it could be their own lust and desires, and it could be different things spiritual out there. So God is never going to lead you in his special will contrary to his written word, okay? So ladies, if you got a bad marriage, you can't say, well, the Lord is leading me to leave you, okay? Because, you know. Now, if he's done certain things, yes, it's okay for the government to take him and kill him, and then you'd be a widow, right? But the government here doesn't do those kind of things, so you won't have that option. But I wanted to just say there is some circumstances where ladies can be harmed that I will give different advice, but let's get go on. And so his special will. Now, a special will is that you're being led by the Spirit, not only generally, but now you're surrendered your will. And so when the Lord says, okay, I'd like you to do this, I'd like you to go here, I'd like you to do that, you know, these kind of things, then you will follow after his will. But there's all these, you got to know the word enough. Okay, now, I'll use you, okay? Okay, so you're getting led by the Lord, and he says, well, I want you to go up to Prince George, and I want you to, you know, knock doors at Prince George and leave your family and your husband and, you know, this kind of thing. What? No. 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 Won't work. But I've had many, many people run into that kind of thing, right? How about if you're, the Lord is leading me to be the adult Sunday school teacher, right? No, I'm not a member. But I think the Lord wants me to teach you guys something, straighten you out, right? You know, or something like that. No, that's contrary. So there's people, you got to judge yourself, you know, and you got to try to see if that leading is within the scripture. Okay? In other words, following this, what I perceive as the will of God, am I breaking scripture, you know, to accomplish that? Let's say if the Lord wanted me to go somewhere and leave Tana for, an extended period of time. There would be a real problem with that, okay? There is some circumstances that might necessitate that, but not for an extended period of time because I've taken on the responsibility of a wife. I'm not an apostle, you know, that kind of thing, and I've got to follow within the parameters of the written word of God. And so you need to understand this. God leads through his word. He leads you through his word. And if you go to Psalms 119, 105, which is, Psalms 119. Anybody there quick?
Yes.
Read it for me, please.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good. God will never lead contrary to his word. It is important to know that it is not God's will in the process of discerning what is his will, okay? It is important to know what is not God's will in the process, of discerning what is his will. In other words, if you're being led down to a direction, but you know the scripture good enough that you're saying, no, this is contrary. This is contrary what the Bible teaches. And so that helps you eliminate some of the things that you might have heard or you might even be impressed. Listen, I don't know if any of you have ever run into this, but we can have our own desires and we can masquerade them as the will of God. I don't know if you've ever, you know, we can deceive ourselves, in other words, in this area. You know, we have a desire, we want to do something, but yeah, and then we try to turn it and, oh no, the Lord would have me do this. Now, wait a second, not if it's contrary to the word, okay? And so know your Bible, and if you are young in the Lord, and let's say if you want, then that's where you get good counsel. And good counsel isn't just getting and talking to a bunch of people, and then when you find someone that agrees with you, to say, okay, that's a good one. Okay, that's what they used to do, what the kings used to do, right? They didn't like what this one prophet said. No, I'm sorry, let's get another prophet or two in here. But you're going to go and you're going to find, and what that good counsel will be is this. Okay, you give me an opinion, you know, what the situation is, and I might tell you that is plain, that is contrary to the Word of God. I might say that I do not know. I that I can't discern this, that I know of nothing contrary. You have to seek the Lord's face on this. But God leads through His Word, and He's, so know what the Scripture says. God leads through His Spirit, and the Spirit is the author of the Word of God. They don't conflict. God leads through His Spirit. And Colossians 3:15, who wants to get that? Tanny, you want to get that one first? And then we'll go to Acts 13:1-4.
Peace God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Okay. And you want that peace of the Lord. You want to be led by the Spirit. You want to be discerned in that. So the Spirit will give you a peace or a calmness. Now, if you're backslid, you're not going to be discerning the will of God and the discerning of the Holy Spirit. Or you've grieved the Spirit of God. You need to be right with the Lord, following His will, surrendered. And then when you're going in this direction, you may be unsettled with it. Okay, there's nothing contrary in the Word of God written, but you're unsettled. In other words, spiritually, you're unsettled. Well, when I'm in that state, I do not do it. And the reason is I can't do it by faith. When I'm unsettled, and whatsoever not of faith is what? Sin. And so I want to have that discernment of the Spirit of God, and I have peace with it. It's not contrary to the Word of God. It might even be in the Word of God, but then I'm looking for the peace of God also to come upon me. In other words, that I'm not, you know, double-minded in the matter. It's settled. So it's 4:15, and I have to stop right there.